scripture readings for today are from Isaiah, a couple of different places in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, the first part, is really a love song that kind of takes a switch in the middle of it. And it's almost like the writer Isaiah changed some of the words to make this song kind of hit for the people of Israel. And then in chapter 11, we get a sense of some hope that's coming, some hope that will come to the people who have really lost a lot of things and a lot of hope in their lives. So, from Isaiah chapter 5, "Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry." And this is where chapter 11 takes over. And in chapter 10, essentially, we hear that the country of Israel will be overrun and literally will become cut down and become a stump. And so here is the promise that comes. "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins." Here ends the reading. The congregation, please rise for the gospel.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
The gospel for today is from Mark, the 12th chapter. And you will see some similarities between this and the first reading from Isaiah. "Then he," Jesus, "began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed." The gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Do we have any kids that want to come forward for a children's time? All right. We've got one, yeah? All right. We're kind of sparse on kids because a lot of the kids are going to be coming next service to participate in some of those things. So come on over, guys. All right. So, do you guys ever do any gardening? Do you have a garden at your place? You do? All right, that's awesome. Because last night the kids didn't have a garden, and then I just brought them. You got what? So what do you do in your garden? Plant things, yep. Are there any weeds in your garden that you have to get rid of, or is your ground good that there's no weeds? Get the weeds out, okay. And then the plants get bigger, and do you have to water them at all, or does it rain enough? Sometimes we have to water them, yeah, and we take care of it. And then when it comes time for harvest, how are things that you pick the plants, and are they good? Do you like to eat the produce? Sometimes. You know, yeah, I mean, vegetables are vegetables, right? All right, so in the story today, God is the one who's planted this garden, and in it, it's a great plant, and he's saying, you know, I'm not going to take care of the garden anymore. He's gotten so frustrated with the people that he's not going to take care of the garden anymore, and just kind of let it go to whatever happens. But that chapter 11 talks about hope, that God is going to plant something new and plant hope in that garden and take care of it. And the thing that's cool about it is that God always keeps coming after us, that God never lets us wither up and die like a plant that might not be taken care of. So we give God thanks for always being with us. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love and for the gift of hope that you give to us. Fill these kids with your hope, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up. God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I want to start with a story from my past, a story about grapevines. When we were growing up on the farm, we had this grove of trees, and it was kind of an old grove, and so there were a lot of plants that I think had been come in wild, and so we had some wild grapes in there, and those grapes would go up the trees, those vines would go up the trees, and come about late August, those grapes would be ready. And my siblings and my cousins, we would take 5-gallon pails and ladders, and we'd climb up in the tree, and we'd cut those grapes down, and we'd fill those 5-gallon buckets full of grapes. And then we'd take them to my mom, and my mom would make some of the best grape jelly ever, and we would enjoy that all year long on our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it was great. And that was such a sweet tasting treat. And so as I was preparing for this message and read that first part where the owner of the vineyard is planting this vineyard and making this beautiful vineyard, and I can imagine it, I can picture it with these rows of vines, you know, and taking out all the rocks and all of the weeds and everything that would hinder those grapes from growing. Kind of different than our grove because it was just kind of overrun. And I'm imagining those grapes in that vineyard, large and round and, you know, wonderful to eat. And then there's a twist in that story. And it says, instead of good grapes, it yields wild grapes. And so in my mind, I'm thinking the wild grapes from my childhood and thinking, well, they're just a little bit smaller, no big deal, right? And then I looked up what the Hebrew word for wild grapes really means. what the underlying thing is. And essentially, the words that come out of it are stinky and worthless, and I'm going to add the other one, yucky, you know? And so it's something that you don't want to put into anything. They're no good for nothing. I mean, nothing. They're not good for anything but throwing away. And it's such a contrast to what the owner of the vineyard wanted. This past spring in May, Ann and I went out to a conference in Napa Valley. And obviously a great place to go. And we drove around and we looked at the vineyards. And we looked at the beauty that was out there and the amount of time and energy that they put, not only to plant the vines and to take care of them, but to build the rest of it so that people would come to see it and visit and to buy the wine and to taste the produce of the ground. They wanted to be recognized. And as I think about the owner of this vineyard, the owner of this vineyard wanted to be recognized also. Now, obviously, the owner of this vineyard in the text today is God. God has planted and set in place the country of Israel. And so it's this country of Israel that is the vineyard. And God has done everything that he can to bring about good fruit. And yet he gets this stinky, yucky, worthless fruit. See, when God came to Abraham, God said, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and the world will be blessed through you. Part of what that blessing was to be was that the nation of Israel would be, in a sense, an example of how to worship God, how to take care of one another, how to show the world how to love. When the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And a lot of times we think of the Ten Commandments as kind of restricting. We think, oh, you know, life would be so much better if we didn't have to deal with those dumb rules. But the reality is that the Ten Commandments were put into place so that we might love and respect our neighbor. And if our neighbors are loving and respecting their neighbors, that means they're loving and respecting us. And they're looking out for us. They're not stealing from us or cheating us or lying about us, gossiping about us, or coveting our things. They're looking out for each other. And in this text from Isaiah, at the very end, we get an understanding of what's going on. It says, I looked for justice and saw bloodshed. I looked for righteousness, or I expected righteousness, and I heard a cry. Now, when I first read that, my thought was the bloodshed would be that they taking a sword and killing people. But as I read more into it, what was really happening in Israel at that time was that those who were in power, those who had political control, those who had wealth, those who had influence, were bending the rules. And what they were doing were oppressing the weak, they were oppressing the poor, they were oppressing the vulnerable. And so instead of a big gash from a sword, they were bleeding the lifeblood out of people a little bit every day. Day after day, they would suck what they could out of the people to add to their power, to add to their wealth. And they would keep people from getting the justice or the righteousness that they deserved. And that's where those cries were coming out. And God kept sending prophets saying, turn from your sin. Turn from what you're doing. But the people kept ignoring God And finally, in the end of chapter 5, and actually in chapter 10, you get this sense where God's saying, I'm done. I'm done. Do what you want. I'm done trying to help you out. Go with your desires. Go with what you're doing. Take advantage of the poor. Take advantage of the people. And we'll see where it gets you. The people were focused on themselves and what they could gain, not on the community, not on the other, and certainly not on the country. And as time goes on, the country of Israel is taken over by Assyria and Babylon. They're drug off to captivity. And in a sense, at the end of chapter 10 in Isaiah, we get the understanding that Israel is nothing more than a stump of a beautiful vine or tree that has been cut down. Not much remains, not much is left. There's this remnant, few people, few faithful people. But in chapter 11, we get some hope. It says, new growth will come out, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. And if you remember from a couple of weeks back, we talked about the son of Jesse, and the son of Jesse was David, was King David. And God had given a promise through the prophets that a new line would come out of the line of David, or a new kingdom. God is talking about the King Jesus that will be born in a manger. That new shoot that will come out is Christ. That hope comes in Christ. Not to set up a powerful political machine, but to show people how to do justice, how to be righteous, how to love our neighbors. Not to become wealthy, not to become powerful, but to be there to bring hope to those who are experiencing and feeling that their lives have become stumps. See, the country of Israel really at that point had no hope, very little hope of ever regaining what they might become. But as Jesus comes into the world, he brings that hope. As I think about my life and about your lives, each of us has hopes and dreams that have turned out differently than what we had hoped. And we might call those dream stumps. That what we had dreamed for has been cut off. But the thing is with God is that God keeps coming back. God keeps coming back to us to bring us new life and to bring us hope, even in those darkest of days. So today, as we hear these stories, stories of good news and bad news and good news, the reminder that we all have stumps in our lives. But what we must remember is that God is always seeking us out, always seeking a new plan for the stumps that we have in our lives, to bring forth new hope, to bring forth new life. And many times, what we could not have even imagined before. So today, have hope. Have hope that the stumps in your lives will not remain dead, that there will be new life that comes. God has brought new life out of the womb of Sarah, when Sarah and Abraham moved to the land of Canaan, and God brought new life for the people of Israel as they came out of the land of slavery. And God brought new life when he raised Jesus from the dead. God is a God of the living and new life, not a God of death. Place your hope in the God of life.